The family was not sent a copy of the report, but Radium Dial received one. It was an incredibly intrusive record for them to have of Peg's last moments. It told them what she was like inside, the weight of her organs, their appearance, whether she was normal or not. When it came to her bone marrow and her teeth, according to the company doctor, she most certainly was. "The teeth are in excellent condition," read the official autopsy report. "There is no evidence of any destructive bone changes in the upper or lower jaw." Her death certificate was duly signed. Diphtheria was the cause of death. The family may not have been given a copy of the report, but Radium Dial made sure to issue the local paper with a summary of it. And so, in Peg Looney's obituary, the following information was included, probably at the request of the firm. The young woman's physical condition for a time was puzzling. She was employed at the Radium Dial studio, and there were rumours that her condition was due to radium poisoning. In order that there might be no doubt as to the cause of death, there was an autopsy. Dr. Aaron Arkin said there was no doubt that death was caused by diphtheria. There was no visible indication of radium poisoning. There was a curious final comment, perhaps inserted on a press release by a company executive with a bright idea of how to win support in the community. "Miss Looney's parents," read the piece, "appeared well pleased with the result of the autopsy." They were not well pleased. They were devastated by their daughter's death. "It just killed my mother to lose her," said Jean. "She was never the same after she died. My mother was just terrible. We used to walk up to the cemetery all the time, early in the morning, pushing an old push mower to keep the grass cut up with it. It was a few miles. We'd walk up there all the time." As for Chuck, losing his beloved Peg was something he would never get over. He moved on with his life, eventually, and followed the dreams that once they both had shared. He became a professor at a university and published several books. Peg, no doubt, would have loved to have read them. He married and had children. And he kept in touch with the Looney family for more than 40 years. His wife confided in Peg's mother how every year, when it was near the anniversary of Peg's birthday or her death, he would become quiet and withdrawn. She knew, Darlene said simply, he was thinking about Peg. Chapter 35, Orange, New Jersey, 1929. Catherine Sharp rebuttoned her blouse after her medical examination and waited for Dr. Craver to speak. He'd said he had something important he wished to discuss. To her astonishment, he proposed that the radium company should stop paying her medical bills. In the settlement, they had agreed to cover them for life. He wanted her, instead, to accept a one-off lump sum. Less than a year after the New Jersey settlement had been reached, the United States Radium Corporation was attempting to renege on its agreement. The idea of paying a lump sum originated with Vice President Barker, but it had the full support of the company doctors. Dr. Ewing deemed the current arrangements unsatisfactory, as "these women are not going to die." In his lab, Craver now used to Catherine the potent argument about the bankruptcy of the company to induce her to accept. But USRC was not bankrupt, anything but. Such an untruth, Berry later said, when Catherine told him anxiously of the doctor's scheme, was purely a painted devil to compel a settlement.